to a very special spooky A4 Play podcast. I'm your scary host.
No, cut that out.
Mark,
cut that out.
Gaming
no.
boo person McDonald.
Boo Mark person. That is illegal. That is illegal in Sheffield.
With me. I can't hold that up. I'm sorry. Yes, we are your podcast about Japan games and Japanese games.
I'm going to call the cops.
All right. And here to talk about them. I can't do, like, I hate those Halloween Twitter names. I'm actually with you, Graham. Actually, let's start with you, Graham. Jinx Howard, who ruined Japan's chances at actually getting to the rugby finals.
Mm-hmm. Was that me?
How did I do that? You by going to, like, a dedicated
That wasn't that game. I was
bar
at
with
game.
Rugby fans.
I was at the fan zone, yes, in Yokohama, but not for that
the
game.
The fan zone?
So I jinxed Ireland, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was there. I was watching the All Blacks Ireland game.
Thanks, yes. man.
Ooh, that was rough. That was rough. Dermot.
It was rough, yeah.
It was Graham's
fault. It seems like...
Yeah, it was Graham's fault. They should have won that game.
They should have. Yeah.
Really?
No,
probably not. No.
Every game I've seen with the All Blacks, man, they just wreck.
They dominate. Yeah. Man, they're so good. But that was really hard to watch. It was good at the end. They got a couple tries.
Mm.
So they didn't look totally outclassed. Unlike mm-hmm. the Japan game, mm. that was even harder to watch.
Mm. I don't know, man.
I heard second half.
Second half, too.
South of Africa.
Africa.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. But that
South of Africa.
Yeah, yeah, whatever's below Africa. Yeah.
South Africa. And that like they put up the first half was really, really tight. Like it seemed like nobody's really getting the advantage so much, but they just couldn't keep it up.
Is that a legitimate rugby term broke? That the first half was tight, or is that just something that
well, I mean, it's their halves, and I'm just saying tight.
It was tight score-wise.
Close.
Like they were
yeah, it was
close.
Super close. Like, yeah, nobody nobody like got a break. Like, was there even a try in the first half?
There was one, yeah,
there
but they
one,
missed
yeah.
the kick.
Like, towards
it was 5-3
yeah.
at halftime.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking alien language
but
to
no,
me
then,
right
like,
now.
In the second half, the dam just broke.
Yeah.
Japan didn't get a try. They just got steamrolled the entire... It was brutal. That was
so this fan zone, is this like an import from another country, or is it actually like a Japanese
No, it's a Japanese thing. Like,
wait, isn't the ESPN
multiple places.
Fan zone... Isn't it called the fan zone?
I feel like
the one in L.A.
Like, it's a pretty... You know, logical combination of words.
Yeah, think, not okay. for Japan, though. It doesn't sound very Japanese.
Oh, that does to me. Japanese people love fans. They love the zone. There's a whole sports station that's just called The Zone. They know about The Zone.
I think they have that with the NBA, too.
Well, yeah, yeah, but that's right. not in Japan, though. We're talking about
everywhere.
In Japan. Like,
but anyway, there are multiple fan zones.
Chain of bars?
No, it's not bars. It's outside.
They're temporarily setting these
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
wow.
like, in Minato Mida, like, for the entire World Cup, there's a Rinko Park, which is just, like, right by, you know, Minato Mida. And they just, like, they got this whole area, the whole park set up. They got a giant screen instead of a big tent. And so people can just, like, put out their vinyl sheets outside.
So you went there with your friends to watch?
Yep. Had a posse out there, and we just like went out, and it was oof, it was bad. It
Roy,
was
did bad. You watch this episode?
I did not. No, I've kind of cooled off a bit on rugby.
It's probably good. It wasn't an uplifting one.
Yeah,
that's Roy. Mazes and Monsters, Blakely.
Yep, that's
I was going to name you after one of the characters in the Dungeons & Dragons cartoon, but it was kind of all of them were insulting. I think.
Oh, I felt like mine was good.
What was yours?
Mine was Baby Orc Dilemma.
Oh yeah, but I didn't understand that.
Well, can I explain
you gotta write explanations with your names when you pass them on.
Well, should I explain?
Yes. Did you have to like choose whether to like strangle a baby orc or else the Viet Cong were gonna find you in your?
You were close the there. You were kind of close.
All right.
Well, so to get right to it is I'm participating in my first like D&D campaign ever.
Yeah. How did this like, happen? Let's back up a little bit.
So.
Sometimes it just happens.
Like,
man.
Whenever... I don't go to Otaru so much anymore as I used to. Mm. But every time I do, I kind of, like, hang around with these people who are all really into, like, board games and like, D&D and stuff. And after a few drinks, I'm always like, yeah, D&D, that sounds like a great idea. I want to do that.
They called you out?
Guys, let's do it.
Oh, no.
And then, so, like, enough of me doing that has finally made them be like, all right, well, we're going to...
Oh,
we're
so,
gonna
so, make so you got the call. Friends of the show that have a regular game invited you in, or...?
Well, no, we're starting from the ground up. Like,
okay.
It's like... It's me, Sarah, and like four people. Dermot's actually in it.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. So,
what's the name of Dermot's character?
Dermot. We haven't made our characters yet.
What?
Yeah. Well.
All right. Let's table this whole session. Talk.
Okay. Well, anyway.
What's your baby orc dilemma?
Baby orc dilemma is a question used to like determine someone's alignment. It's like if you let's say you
I've never heard of this.
You destroy an orc village, right? Of
yes.
all bad. All orcs that are adults and therefore they're evil. But then you find a baby orc.
Yeah.
It has no alignment yet because it's a baby.
Uh-huh.
Do you kill it
mm-hmm.
because you know it's going to eventually turn evil? Or do you
is that true?
Just leave it because... Well, yeah, all orcs are evil, right?
Can you make it by not killing it? Can you like steer it down the path of righteousness, or
can you enslave it? Is it just like kill it or don't kill it?
I think it's pretty much just kill it or don't kill it.
I can already tell your alignment, first of all, that you're racist, because now in explaining the dilemma, you've already said all orcs turn evil.
All I know is
you're lawful evil.
I don't see orcs. I just see neutral.
That's right. Yeah. True neutral. I only see hit dice. I don't even see.
I feel like, I mean, in D&D, you've got like the 9 alignments, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to get from those two choices, from kill it or don't kill it, you're not going to actually narrow it down enough to have an alignment there.
It is. Well, I think it's maybe to like steer you. I think somebody was just like
fucking with you.
Well, there's a longer questionnaire. It's like, do you like raise it as your own? Do you give it up for adoption?
I'd raise it as my own. Yeah. It'd be like
do you leave it? I was going to say, and then enslave it. Yeah.
Well, no, you wouldn't. It wouldn't be like proper enslavement, but it would.
It'd be your familiar.
It would be endeared to you. I feel do what you told it.
That's like a bit like the people in Florida. They're like, I'm gonna raise this gator in my bathtub, and then one day they get torn in half in their bathroom.
One day there's another Florida.
That's the Florida chaotic neutral life, man.
Yeah, I was gonna say those people are all chaotic good though, Roy. They might end up dying.
There are no good people in Florida. Chaotic neutral at best.
Interesting. So, what was your answer and alignment?
Well, so I just went with the orc thing because I thought it was an interesting nickname. I didn't actually come across that.
Well, no, exactly. All right. What was your answer? Did you strangle the baby?
I would probably not kill it.
Okay.
I'd probably not kill
it. Seems like a remove. Yeah.
And would you take it in as your own?
No. Okay. Well, let nature figure it out.
Whoa.
Set it That's free almost into more the cruel. Woods.
So let it starve to death slowly.
Well, no,
painfully.
I mean, we don't know that it's going to starve to death. It can eat its dead friends.
Well, okay, Roy.
Lawful evil.
I think you ate, yeah. No. That's at best, that's, I don't know. Well, maybe not chaotic
evil.
It's not chaotic. It's
lawful.
He just
said it's going to feast on its family. It's going to make it, like,
It could leave the family members, just eat the surrounding
Well, no, I mean, the lawful decision is to leave it alive, because this life is not yours to take.
Mm-hmm.
But you're being a bit of a dick, so lawful evil.
Yeah, sure. That's the thing. That's why it's such a tough question.
I'll go with that. Let's see. Who the hell are you? What's your name?
Who are you talking to?
Depends who you are.
Dermot. Let's stretch this out because you're not actually on here. Anywhere. There you are. Look who came crawling back.
Yeah. Cregan,
on
I'm
his
back.
Hands and knees.
I'm back.
Begging to be a part of this podcast again. That's all right. We took you back.
Dermot
Quite
was
last
gone.
Episode.
Yes.
Two episodes ago.
I missed my first episode, like, maybe ever. So, yeah.
By choice.
Sure.
It wasn't even by necessity. It's by choice.
Sure. How many times have you been gone, Mark?
Did you have a good time there in Tokyo? It was not by choice, Dermot.
Roll right on fast.
Also, Dermot was trying to, like, get out of Tokyo right before that big F5 was going to hit us, so.
That's right.
And it worked.
Which we all survived, by the way.
It turned out to be mostly a non-event in Tokyo. Elsewhere, it was kind of bad.
It was bad.
It wasn't too bad here.
Yeah. It was bad for various reasons. Not as bad as a lot of, you know, as people thought it might be.
Right.
But it was still pretty terrible in certain places. Mm-hmm. But not in Kyoto.
No, we got rain and some wind and a really funky sky, and that's about it.
Mm.
I saw pictures of that. It looked weird. Yeah. It was like it was orange.
Turned orange. Right?
Orange. Yeah. Orange-ish thing.
What'd you do there?
In Kyoto?
Mm-hmm.
On the day or just in general?
Just in general.
I had a couple friends in town from, or rather just in Japan from high school.
Nice boys, both. I met them.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
The tens. Good
they
timing.
Approve. They get the grams.
Yeah,
for real. Yeah, both good approval. Dudes. Good dudes.
No Shibuya Meltdown photos of them.
One of them told a good story about like being drunk in Russia or something.
Mm.
Rescuing a friend from the ice like fjords out there.
Oh, right,
yeah. One of them's in the Peace Corps in Ukraine.
Oh, wow.
But he was in Russia before, and he was telling us a drunk Russia story.
Fun fact we learned from him is that there's a superstition there that you shouldn't sit on the ground if you're a man because your balls will freeze.
Yep.
So in Russia? Well,
it might be based on Ukraine. Some facts somewhere.
If you sit long enough.
Like sweaty.
So that's sitting the right way.
That's why they all do the squat thing.
Okay. So do they squat like they do
like
in Japan?
The Zangief, the Slav.
Dance. Like the Slav. The Slavs in tracksuit squat.
Right.
Keeps their balls nice off the ground. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I wish I would have known that before I came up with Dermot's nickname, but there we go.
Old freezy balls.
Are your friends not here? You know what you have to do? So, well, no.
No.
Let's not.
They were here for 10 days.
Oh, they're still here?
No, they're gone now.
Oh.
It's been 10 days, Mark.
All right. Very sad to see them go then. But
so what did you do in Kyoto?
We did the usual. We did the tour, saw a bunch of temples, shook a lot of hands, went to see Joker. Like you do.
In Kyoto.
Yeah.
Give us your non-spoiler hot take on
Joker. I don't know if that movie should have been made. to be honest.
Okay.
Which is maybe a larger discussion than we should have right now. Also went to Kinosaki Onsen.
Wait, there's not a butt? There's not a butt coming on in there or anything?
I mean, I enjoyed it, but I think it puts only bad into the world, and I don't think that's what the world needs right now.
Well, you just said you enjoyed it, though, so that's... So
I enjoyed it as... I enjoyed it as, like, a cinematic experience, but I think the themes and the content that it deals with,
mm-hmm.
when seen by somebody who is either going through similar things or has gone through similar things in the past, I think... it wouldn't be a good thing for them to have.
So we should burn all copies of Catcher in the Rye, is what you're saying.
No.
I agree. Fuck that book.
I would.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
John, what's your Joker hot take? Joker hot takes.
It was great. Did you not see it yet?
No.
Oh, you should see it. It was really good.
I want to see it.
I heard someone say that it was like the best movie they saw this year, and I was like, oh, okay, that's a little...
Yeah, it's actually my movie of the year.
I would say it's... Oh, it may be mine.
Right. Mystery guest, Alex CVX Freak.
You know? I actually went to Ueno today to see if I can buy a red suit to be Joker on Halloween.
Whoa, I think you might not be the only one.
It was going to cost like $500 for like the entire thing. So
Jesus.
I passed up on
less than that.
I was going to say.
If I had more time.
Go to Goodwill or something.
Go to Don Quixote. I'm sure they have one.
Yeah, oh, I bet they do. Yeah. I bet they do.
I don't want to leave Dermot's point in the wind, though. Like, but I also can't really respond to it without spoiling the movie. So I will just say
that's the problem, yeah.
I feel like... There's another take to that, too, where I feel like there are people who maybe see that movie as, like... I know some people who saw... Yeah, you can't... There's no way to talk about this without spoiling it. Basically, like, I think there is an alternative point to that. I get that. I get what you're saying. But
we'll
I think there's an opposite
cast.
End to that, too. That makes sense, too. Mm. So, but, I mean, just, like... how do you say... Is it Joaquin? I can't remember anymore. Yeah, I was trying to remember. Joaquin, in Japanese, it's like... Well, it's just different. But basically, his acting is just, he's so good. Like, he's everything about that dude's acting in, like, every movie.
It's funny because you see him in real life and, like,
he's weird. I mean, didn't he pretend to quit the entertainment business for a while? And he was like,
he had
all this weird shit going on. He had that thing running with David Letterman
for a while.
But
even seeing him on a talk show, and it just seems like they're strained to have, like, a normal human interaction with him.
But it's hard to tell if that's part of the act or not. Like, people think that's part of his stick.
Watch him on, like, Jimmy Kimmel or something like
that.
No,
I know. I mean, that's the whole point. His thing, specifically on late-night talk shows, is that,
right.
like, he's weird, and it's not clear if he's actually weird or he's playing weird.
It's very, very
clear. It's like that dude that Jim Carrey played in the movie. What's his name?
No,
Andy Kaufman.
It's not like that at all. It's not
really
like that
don't
at
think
all.
So?
Yes, no, it's not like that at all.
I don't know, man.
You should see, it's, like, strained. It's not that he's, like...
But what's to say that's not a performance?
No. He did do that kind of thing for a time. Like, he did that on, like, Letterman or something like that. And I don't know what else to say, but just why... I'm not, like... damning him, like, I wouldn't be good on a talk show either, but it's just weird that he's like that like gifted an actor and then can't. I think actors are usually good at faking it on talk shows the same way they fake it in a movie, but apparently like he's missing
that
like
could be the whole thing.
Gene or something.
That's the point of his
thing. Watched the thing and we'll have a very different conversation. It's not like it's like strained normal talk show stuff. He's just like not good at it. It's not to like, there's no point to it. He's not like larger.
Well, he's amazing in that movie.
So. Yeah, he is.
Yeah, it's a dark movie, but I think it's a good case study for.
Well, I definitely want to see it. Have they said
it's
like
also,
is
it's also appealing to fans of like Batman, which I wasn't in the series. I mean, like the whole universe, as which is not something I expected because I thought it was just like purely going to be, you know, if you read the Killing Joke, which was like an old Joker book or like some of the old Joker things, you'll see like various nods and things back to like old school, not like recent, like people who have been with that series for a really long time. Like I was into it a lot when I was a kid, but I haven't lately. And like I was happy to see callbacks to like my era of like you know, Batman lore or whatever. So
have they said, is he like on the hook for future appearances in any other movies? Like if they make
I believe like a bunch of people in that movie said that they would make another one, but they would do another one, but I think the director doesn't want to or something like that. Basically, it sounded like there wasn't going to be another one. He's not the Joker. Like
he's not the Batman, that
shitty
Jared Leto
Joker, which is like garbage.
That's not around anymore, right?
No, it is technically still around.
What?
Yeah. In fact, he was upset and he tried to get this movie from being made.
I heard that somewhere. Yeah. But like, how can, like, there's no coming back from this now.
Dude, I know. But they like specifically said that this is not
Jack Nicholson
like,
came back and he's like, hey guys. I mean, and that was even good for its time.
No,
Jared Leto was never good.
No, but they specifically said that this movie is like universe? Its own universe, separate from the shit really that all the crappy DC movies. Well, that's kind of for the best, because did anybody else here got nothing else going for it until people started saying good things? I thought this was going to be garbage like every other DC movie.
That's what I'm saying. DC's gotten jack shit going for it, so at least this has like some respectability.
Right, but what I would say is build from this rather than worry about this being tied to the other stuff. Like, just start fresh. Right. You know what I mean?
Well, but that's what I mean. But like, there's a new Batman. Well, and a new Catwoman and new whatever, so why
is,
not?
And their next movie is Birds of Prey, which is going to be a Harley Quinn-focused movie.
Okay. She's really good.
Yeah, also, she is, yeah. What's his name? Guardians of the Galaxy dude, like, didn't he take over one of the movies?
He's doing Suicide Squad 2.
Yeah.
James Gunn.
Welcome to the Comic Zone. Comic Zone. Let's talk about video games instead, though.
Yeah, right.
How about that?
You never even intro'd me, Mark.
Oh my god. I'm so sorry.
They don't know who I am. That's fine. I don't actually care. I was just...
Where are you on my sheet here?
We need hold music.
Shit, well, you don't...
for the names.
Dodge the bullet.
Roy, what was... Do you remember your nickname for John?
Trash Panther.
Wow.
Ricky Hardy.
Yeah.
That's a good name.
That is a good name.
Yeah. What is it?
Just leave it.
Mean?
Let it hang.
Well, you were kind of in a like getting rid of stuff mood today, which is never easy in Japan. And
no, it's such a process to get rid of anything in this country.
Yeah. In a good way, though, because that you get shit recycled that way. And
I guess it's a good way, but getting it done is not a good way.
No, it's
like
a pain in the ass.
Having to wait a month to like throw out like a rice cooker, and then like having to take it downstairs like the night before and put a sticker on it, and then like wait for the man to show up in the morning.
But long term, your children's children will thank you.
Zooming out, sure.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, in the moment, it's very annoying.
You were getting rid of some stuff that I'm sure like some people would want.
Throw out today?
Like just there were some posters that like I was like, you know, somebody would probably want that. Some video
podcast
game historian
listeners.
Or something.
I threw out
yeah, probably not.
All right, I won't say.
I threw out some stuff, but
perfectly good fan for one thing, an amazing fan that served many years proudly. Roy,
just say a lot of mighty items went in the garbage today.
How many of those items would you say?
Somewhere, I don't know, maybe eight, ten.
Where did Trash Panther come from, though? Is that like an expression?
Well, I was like,
or?
I can't do Trash Panda. That's too obvious. So I was like,
everybody knows Trash Panda's so tired and played out.
It is. So Panther just popped in my head. I was like, all right,
Alex.
I don't have any more time to think about this.
Yes,
Alex. Back to you. This is interesting timing because you had a interesting live stream last weekend.
Oh yeah.
You want to tell us about the
you did?
Yeah, so on Saturday I had a live stream with Hideki Kamiya from Platinum Games.
Oh right.
Playing old school
Resident Evil 2.
Yes.
With the
OG
with a speedrunner named Carcinogen SDA.
That's right. So SDA is part of his name.
On his birth certificate.
He told me a long time ago what it meant and I do not remember.
It's not Speed Demos Archive? That used to be the site that Evo speedrunners
could be. I'll ask him later.
Okay,
he's still in Japan, but
he is okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Wait, what was the occasion? Was this just for like fun, or were you like, is this some event that was like
for fun, pretty much?
So you set this up?
Yeah.
You just like called your boy Kamiya, and you're like,
yeah.
Hey, boy.
So you had previously two of you guys had previously done a similar stream with the RE3
guy,
director.
That was last year.
Yeah.
And so we thought we'd try RE2 this year.
Mm.
I see. So this wasn't like sponsored by Capcom or anything like that.
No. And the timing was fortuitous though, because came out with an announcement about your book.
Yes, finally. I launched the funding campaign for it on a book publisher, Unbound, based in the UK. It's a little different from Kickstarter in that there's no fixed end date to the campaign.
Right.
And instead of publicizing the funding goal, they just show the percentage of how far you've gotten.
Right. So, but it works the same way. You pledge a certain amount, you get a book, an extra rewards and stuff like that. For people who want to find it, like how should they go about it?
They should check my Twitter. I have it as a pinned tweet. Otherwise, if they go to
CVX Freak,
On Twitter, CVX Freak, and if they go on Unbound, they should be able to find it if they search for Resident Evil.
Cool. So let's talk about the stream. I thought, you know, I think a lot of people, maybe people who don't follow Kamiya like super closely, but people who just kind of know him from his Twitter persona, would be surprised at like how like affable and just like down for whatever and like super like right. you know, pretty humble and just funny and interesting. He's actually
a really nice guy in real life.
Yeah.
And I
yeah.
think like the Kamiya people see on Twitter is like it's like seeing a wrestler. Right, you know, they kind of misbehave in public, but when it actually comes to how they interact with people in real life,
yeah,
Kamiya's really nice.
Yeah, it's a character, obviously, I think, but
yeah, he's actually kind of sweet. Like he does.
He was on that. What it was like 5 hours that stream?
Yeah, we played.
Was he the one playing, or was he just watching?
He was watching. Okay. Yeah, he's actually apparently really bad at Resident Evil games. Funny enough.
Yeah, I thought so. Like, let's go through some of like what the highlights were. I mean, the things that I remember. Obviously, he was trolling people constantly, saying right, like
Okami 2,
Okami the next game is good. And there was that tweet recently with what's her name,
Ikumi Nakamura,
yeah, as well, right. saying like, oh yeah, the next Okami is coming, and it kind of became this running joke that anybody that mentioned, oh, like when's the next Beautiful Joe coming? He's like, well, actually, it's coming. We're coming working on that, and soon. Then everybody would laugh, and he said that for like six different games.
Yeah, I think off the top of my head, he announced Okami 2, Beautiful Joe 3. Devil May Cry Zero, The Story of Sparta.
Oh, that's an interesting one.
Bayonetta 4, even though 3's not out yet.
Sure, why not?
What else did we announce?
Well, let's talk about the stuff that came out.
Scalebound.
The stuff that came out during the stream, like some of the trivia and the most interesting highlights.
Yeah, a lot of it does actually get covered in my book, because Kamiya was talking about like, the development side of things. Like, he talked about how, like, Resident Evil 1.5 wasn't shaping up to be a very good game, and that
right.
it was really the right decision to cancel it.
Yeah, he was very down on, like, the story and the characters yeah. and everything he had. Because he wrote the story for what right. and now we call 1.5. And then they brought in, what's his name?
Sugimura-san.
Okay, who was an actual, like, accomplished writer.
Yeah.
And then that's where, like, the flagship
right. so he,
brand started.
Sugimura passed away, 15 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Okay. But Noboru Sugimura. But he actually wrote the stories for Super Sentai, I think, like, way back in the 90s.
Okay. Wow. So it was, like, the Power Rangers show.
Right, Power Rangers in Japan.
But some of the stuff that I thought was interesting was, like, the connections back to the original Resident Evil, a lot of that was right. him saying like, hey, why don't you need to include more
right.
Resident Evil 1 stuff, including was Mr. X part of that idea that the tyrant, he's like, oh right. yeah, we should have the tyrant.
Yeah, they wanted to bring back an enemy to kind of make the beast scenarios a little more surprising, so they right. thought improvising on the tyrant from the first game would have solve both of those problems.
Right, with some new yeah. enemies.
Because if you think about like Capcom games back in the day, you know, even though there were a lot of sequels coming out,
yeah.
like, they never really referenced each other very much.
Right.
Like, I don't think Mega Man 2 explicitly references Mega Man 1, right, or Street Fighter 2 and Street Fighter 1. I mean, you might find some connections, but I find that Resident Evil 2 was like the first, one of the first games, maybe along with Breath of Fire, that actually
had like a timeline like that, like too, a real, right? That was really connected. I mean, it takes place like a month.
Mega Man's a bad example because that one very much is like connected to the previous ones. I mean, it's a direct sequel, but like, you know, in terms of Resident Evil, are you talking about how like the story? You're just talking about how the story continues, I guess, or?
The original Resident Evil 1.5 had like virtually no like connections right, to the right. first game. So Sugimura's idea was to...
Which Mark and I played back in the day.
I didn't. I wasn't there.
Oh, well, you weren't there?
No,
oh, that's right.
There.
Okay. Yeah. That's me and Shu. Dan
famously,
Shu.
I was like the right. only person yeah, that like cared right. the most about it. That's why, like... get a phone call or email or something. And I was like, what the fuck are you guys talking
yeah,
about?
Like, I regret now that I didn't just take the PlayStation, rip it out and run away
no,
with it.
No kidding.
But,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Kamiya called the game shit though.
Like, he was really down on it. Yeah. Like that's one of the things I was surprised about.
The sample chapter of your book, was it talking about that? I feel like I read about that.
It was, yeah. Yeah.
It must've been okay,
yeah, on Polygon.
And like why it was kind of accidentally on two discs and like, so there right. was that stuff. But the stuff that came out, the thing that I think blew Carcinogen's mind the most was, the emblem, like the graphics are kind of hard to make out, especially like back in the day. But in the stars room of the police station, there's like the shield emblem?
The one from the first game, yeah.
Yeah, is like there. Like they collected evidence or something from the mansion and it was back there. And he was just like, wait, that's what that is? Like he just like stopped for like a minute, which is like, wow.
Right.
I mean, the guy's like, lived inside that game for so many hours that
I thought it was interesting little thing how Kamiya went into detail about how they had to design pre-rendered backgrounds, because you like when they went into that one L-shaped hall,
right?
It's like he was telling us, oh, you have to design like the walls to look a certain way, so you would think to
turn the corner. But you can tell that there's actually a corner there,
right?
Like, so they would do stuff like put little hazard like black and yellow stripes on stuff, so you could tell like, oh, when the wall ends here, because like CRTs and people playing on smaller TVs, the quality was so bad that another thing they did was, this is in the sewers, they had writing on the walls that would get interrupted, like, you know, halfway through you could only see half of the word because the corner cut it off, and so you could tell like, oh, then you must be able to go down that path, right? Like, yeah, it's like little That's tricks pretty fascinating. Like that.
Yeah, and they got to do that for every room apparently, so it
right,
you know, we think they took the easy way out in a lot of senses, but I mean, I think that presented a lot of challenges in its own regard, like making pre-rendered backgrounds.
I guess it's already known, but like the Kendo, whatever his name is, John Kendo, the Kendo gun guy,
sorry about
was
that.
More a character. Yeah, they recorded all in Canada. Surprise, surprise.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, so that kind of. what finally got confirmed, and then Marvin, I guess, is the only other person who was
made it from 1.5, I think.
1.5,
so.
Who got carried over. Oh, and then other stuff like the alternate costumes. He wanted, what's her name, Claire's alternate costume to be the main one, but it was too dark on the black backgrounds to pop, so
yeah.
They made it more blue. But anyway, chase down that stream. You could has he put up the YouTube link yet? I watched it on Twitch.
I think
Twitch
it's channel. Up now, but he took another recording with a good camera. So a better version might come out at some point.
Okay,
but I think if you go on Carcinogen SDA on Twitter, you might be able to find it.
Yeah, it's a good stream. Skip the first 30 minutes or so just because you guys are getting set up and there's sound issues and all kinds of BS. But then
that probably shouldn't have been in it. But
as soon as the game actually starts and you guys are taking questions from the users and stuff like that, it was pretty cool. Any stuff that we didn't see on the stream? Any interesting anecdotes from Kamiya?
No, we kept pretty much, I think, most of it on camera. Yeah. Everything
really, I thought
else
you guys had breakfast
book.
Or something before the
we
stream.
We did, yeah.
Nothing out of that? Nothing you could say on the podcast?
Nothing I would feel comfortable talking about without,
sure.
You know,
read the book.
Ruining
Buy
some
the book,
friendships.
Folks. By the book.
Hiroko and I ran into him like randomly at we were meeting with one of our clients, and like he was in the same building at the same time, and like we walked in and I stepped out of the elevator and I looked like pretty far down the hall, and I just saw from behind saw him, and I was like
bald head.
I was like, I just turned to Hiroko, I was like, that's Hideki Kamiya, and she was like what, like, because it was like super down the hall, and sure enough we got up close because you could tell because he's got that build, he's got the bandana, he's got the shorts on, like,
Oh, did we talk about this on stream? So Carsey was in Akihabara last week on like a Thursday at like 1 p.m.
Okay.
And then he goes into one of the most famous game stores, Beep.
Yeah.
No, Beep, right?
Yeah.
He sells like used games and whatnot. So he messages me and he's like, Alex, I just saw Kamiya's doppelganger. And I'm like, well, Kamiya's supposed to be in Osaka, but if this is Akihabara, I think it's plausible that he could be there, right? But I thought, maybe not, probably not. And then when we were having breakfast with Kamiya at the hotel, I asked him, so were you in Akihabara last week? And he was like, yeah, I was there on Thursday. And then Akarsi was like, I saw you, but I didn't think it was you. And Kamiya was like, oh.
Was he like game shopping or something or what?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a big retro game fan, super into old arcade games.
Yep.
He had a story somewhere recently about his brother. Did you read that? I forget where it was. Like, I guess, oh, you know what? It was Japanese. It was on like 4Gamer or something. They had a big interview with him, and I guess he had this long story about growing up with his younger brother and the two of them being super into games.
Oh.
And they never show his brother, which is weird, but they talk about him a whole bunch in this like multi-page article about like the games they played growing up and like how they interacted with each other, and they kind of grew up on games together in their family.
He did have a good story on the stream about this magazine used to run, a weekly magazine. It wasn't Famitsu. I forget what it was, but used to run a tips corner, and this is brilliant, by the way, but they would make up one
fake
cheat or tip, like kind
of
like EGM's old April Fool's joke. They would make one up every time, and in One of them, it was that this woman, when you played like Junkin, you played rock, paper, scissors against her, she would strip if you were winning it in this game. And he's like, he told his little brother, like, I'm going to buy that game.
Yeah.
Didn't say why. Didn't say because of this or whatever. But he's like, hey, I'm planning to buy that game. And then the next week, of course, they printed like, hey, that was just a joke or whatever. And like, he told his brother, like, are you going to buy that game? He's like, no, I'm not going to buy it. And his little brother knew immediately like why it was that he was actually going to buy the game.
That's cruel, man. Yeah, I remember when we went back.
They probably sold some copies of that game, whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, the April Fool's jokes in EGM used to. I mean, we'd get tons of letters like that one month every year because people would get pissed because everybody would try.
Well, Sonic and Smash was one of the biggest ones ever, and
Street Fighter 1 was huge.
Yeah,
in fact, they basically say that who's the character, the old guy in Street Fighter,
Shenlong.
Gouken. It basically exists because of the EGM April Fool's joke.
They actually brought up another EGM April Fool's in the stream. Akuma was in RE2. If you remember that, there was that thing and you could do a fireball and shit.
Wait, are you saying Goki was
maybe this game fan actually?
Gouken,
the old Gouken. Guy. EGM did an April Fool's joke saying that Shenlong was playable.
Yeah.
And somewhere in an interview down the line.
That Shenlong was a person, first of all.
Was a person.
There was
a
person called Shenlong.
Right. And down the line, when they made Gouken, they said that was sort of inspired by.
Not Akuma, right?
Not Akuma.
Oh, okay. Not Gouken. Ryu's master. Yeah. Like,
good to know. Because
and I think Akuma and RE2 might have been a game fan joke and not EGM. I'm not sure. But anyway.
Doing a lot of interpretation for Matt Leone, and we talked about that a lot.
Mm.
So
nice.
What have you been playing, Alex? Staying on Resident Evil. You played the Switch ports.
Oh, yeah. Of RE5 and 6.
RE5 and 6.
Yeah, I haven't played any new games because I went through like a 6-week period sleeping in my own bed like twice.
Right.
So I've been traveling for work recently. RE5 and 6, I mean, I'm happy to have them portably because I travel a lot. And
right.
I think they...
Anything weird about the ports? Are they good?
They just have bad frame rates comparatively.
They do?
Yeah.
They're really unstable. And
what's their faces in the UK? Or
Digital Foundry.
Pretty much shit all over them.
Oh, really?
Really bad, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, they shit all over the frame rate.
Is that really necessary? Like, it should be totally fine on Switch,
They seem surprised. I mean, they've seen better ports out of things.
Yeah, none of the RE games on Switch perform perfectly, unfortunately.
Do we know who did the ports, or...?
Based on the credit screen on the demo, it's Capcom internal.
Hmm.
Could have been someone else. RE1, 0, and 4 were done externally, but... Usually they have like frame rate problems.
But you're still enjoying playing through them again?
I mean, yeah, because I mean, when you're on the road,
sure,
unless you have like a gaming laptop,
sure,
you know, it's not going to matter. I think
you liked RE. You still like RE6?
I never really liked RE6.
Oh, you
that
didn't?
Much. I mean, I
thought you did.
I think it's an interesting game.
Yeah,
I don't love
interesting.
It. I think the combat's really deep in RE6.
Wait, okay, here's an interesting thing about RE6 that you guys brought up on the stream in relation to RE2. So, based on RE6, what is it? That which characters exist? You can basically say which ending in RE2 is canon, right?
Right, because Sherry in RE6 has the, spoilers, infection.
Okay.
And that you can only get that in one scenario in RE2.
Which scenario in RE2 is it?
The one that Claire A. Leon B. Exactly.
Claire A. Leon B. is basically what we assume now as canon.
Yeah, the remake, obviously.
Because she gets infected in that one, but lives.
Yes.
And the way you know she's infected is because when she's on that like trash pile, a little like
thing
crawls away or something?
You spend the last like quarter of the game finding the antidote for that.
Right.
Yeah, she can't be the way she is in RE6 if that didn't happen.
I thought that was interesting, because I do feel like that is actually, like, okay.
Well, I mean, Kamiya's intention was to have all scenarios, like, canon in some way, but then, you know,
they wanted, like, the metaverse and whatever. Like, nobody wants that. Nobody wants that fucking metaverse. What is the real...
He used that word, yeah.
Yeah, he did. Like, what people want to know, like, what is the real ending, though? He's also, like, a super fraidy cat. Like, he doesn't like scary games.
He doesn't like scary games, and
movies.
He doesn't like violent games.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, by the way, The Thing has a totally different title in Japanese, is the reason why he didn't. It's like, what is it? It's like Alien X or something like that. The movie, The Theme, John Carpenter movie, The Thing.
Yeah, something
like... You saw it, right?
Yeah.
Kasei...
It's like the Alien X from space or something.
Right, yeah. Anyway.
Wow, that's
why I was like on stream. I'm like, oh no, Alex.
That's
like,
worse than like Wild Speed Sky Mission.
Right, that's a hard one to be able to get.
Is that Fast and the Furious like something or?
Cool. Playing anything else? Anything on your travels? Switch games.
I played Link's Awakening for a little bit.
Cool.
That frame rate's pretty bad.
It is.
No,
charming game though.
No, don't say that around here.
I wouldn't say it's bad, but it's a problem.
Worth every penny is $60, Alex. Keep going. Just keep going.
And I ashamedly played
every penny.
Devil May Cry 2 on Switch.
Now, okay. What's going on here? Why are you playing Devil May Cry 2?
Why would anybody
2?
Voluntarily play Devil May Cry 2?
Yeah.
Well, because when 3 comes out someday, I don't want to have like a gap between 1 and 3.
Had you not played it originally?
I did 15 years ago.
Okay.
For a little bit.
You just wanted to remind yourself how bad
it was. Yeah, literally that was.
I remember reviewing DMC2 when it came out, and at the time like you kind of just didn't know. I mean, DMC1 was so good. Kind of out of nowhere, one of the best looking PlayStation 2 games anywhere. Period. And it was great, you know, really fun, and like yes, that like cheesy ending and voice lines notwithstanding, like really good. And two, like they were really quiet about, and I seem to remember like we didn't get a chance to play it and stuff until we had it for review. And back in the day in EGM, like you did not talk to other reviewers, and so but I was like, you're always kind of like, is it just me but is this game fucking terrible? Like it was so bad. And I wish I should look up what I ended up giving it. Because it probably wasn't like, you know, a 3 or anything like that. It was probably like a 6 or something. But it was like, that was shockingly bad for after that first debut as a follow-up. Like,
yeah, that was
horrible. Do you know who was it who directed that? Do you know?
Well, there were two directors. So there was the original unnamed director. And then I think at the end, Itsuno stepped in
and tried
to salvage the best of a bad situation.
Sure, okay.
I mean, the main problem with that game is that there's just no substance to it, right?
Like, there's lots of problems with that game. I think it looked worse than the first game, for one thing.
I think they were trying to go for something a little open world-like. Mm. Back, I mean, they didn't use that word, but you know, the environments are so close to be
open.
A lot bigger. And the thing is, like, the enemies are like not threatening, and you can literally mash the button.
Right.
The gun button, actually, even though it's a sword fighting game, and you'll probably like maybe 3/4 of the time clear the room.
But
like,
you're still playing it.
There's no depth to it. It's not as ugly as I remember it, actually.
Well, okay, on that little screen, it probably looks better, too.
Yeah, I'm playing it on a Switch Lite.
Yeah.
So that I've made that my main Switch machine. And I think the small screen kind of makes it look charming in a lot of ways. Mm. It's not ugly, but it's really boring. And yeah, I think it baffles me that Capcom thought they could release that by itself, but they did.
Well, much less release it now in 2019.
Yeah, I
expect people to play it again.
The day they announced it on the Direct, I was like, okay, immediately thought, okay, this is just they want to get this out before DMC3, because once DMC3, they can never go back to DMC2.
Exactly, so exactly. Yeah.
It's like cash grab, basically. I hate to say it. But
switching gears entirely, let's talk about the hot new release everybody's talking about.
Which one?
The Fit Adventure.
That's Ring Fit
Adventure. Ring Fit Adventure.
I called it. I had a name for it. Now I forgot.
I had Wii Fit Adventure written down and had to scratch it out.
Old Fat Reminder is what I was thinking of it. Yeah, because this game is hard. Like it is. It's hard if you haven't been exercising in a while like me.
Yeah, tell me about your experience with it, John, because I think I'm probably not like the target audience for it.
Mm-hmm.
I live a pretty healthy lifestyle.
Don't you play soccer like every weekend, basically?
Yeah. So, I don't know. I when I booted it up, like it gave me the option of like intense or extreme, and I went straight to extreme.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah.
You gotta go
you
extreme.
Probably should.
Yeah, I mean, is there easy, normal, intense?
Four
and
levels.
Extreme?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, but they only give you the option to choose your difficulty after they like take a bunch of information from you.
Okay.
So they already knew like how much I weighed and what my age was and all that.
Mm.
So they recommended intense. I went extreme, and like it's a little hard.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's what a workout's supposed to be.
Yeah,
so
a little define. Give me some kind of metric of how. Like,
so
how
I got
much
in,
are you sweating or
heart rates, buddy? Give me heart rates.
There you go. Sure. Well, they do take your heart rate
check
at the end
pulse,
of every stage. You put your right thumb over the Joy-Con on the Ring-Con.
Mm,
there you go. And it takes like it by camera. IR. And I only ever hit like very light exercise.
Okay.
So it's like you should probably keep bumping up the difficulty, but I can't anymore.
Huh. It's saying that even though you're on the hardest one.
Yeah, there are difficulty levels within the tiers, and I think that's probably what they're asking me to do.
Okay.
But they do that on its own, like every time you boot it up.
So you wander around the world.
No, so it's it's an RPG, but it's stage based. So
on rails, kind of, right?
Pretty much, yeah. In order to move, you do have to like do you run in place, or if you have silent mode, you bounce like a baby, which is fun.
Okay.
Bounce like a baby. What do you mean?
Babies bounce, man.
Yeah, you just bend your knees. Oh. You know, like how babies like
you know shake it like you would a baby, really hard and violently,
like Roy would,
just till it stops crying,
strangle it,
yeah. Like an orc baby. Yeah,
I didn't dear life.
I didn't try that mode, but I see.
Does it track calories burned?
It gives you estimates of calories burned.
Yeah, context. I've been on the no carb diet for like 7 months, so I'm trying to find an excuse to get out of it.
Well, I don't know if Ring Fit Adventure is going to like supplement a no carb diet. But it is, like, really good for fitting in exercise when you can. Like, when you start a stage, it gives you an estimate of how long it's going to take you.
Okay.
So, they're between, like, 5 to 10 minutes each time. And then, like, you get to a boss at the very end of the world.
Yeah.
Which is usually around 5 stages. And I've only beaten one boss, and it was, like, 15 minutes.
Okay. Just the boss fight was 15
minutes.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah. So, is you know like what you're getting when you go into...
The boss more intense than the normal stage.
It's more like... It's just 15 minutes of fighting, whereas like a normal stage, you're running, you're interacting with the environment a little more, and then you come across enemy encounters every once in a while.
Sure. But like, do you exert yourself more on the boss stage?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just squat more? What do you do when you're fighting? How does fighting work?
Okay, so go ahead.
Well, no, I was going to say there's a bunch of different moves that you can choose, and they're essentially each one is like a different exercise. Like one might be put the ring controller on the floor, get down on, because you also have the strapped around your left leg too, so it knows where you are. So you sit on the floor and do like
leg
bring
raises.
Your knees in, leg raises and like kick out, or you do like squats, or you do like put the thing over your head and like squeeze it. The circle, what do they call it? The ring, I guess? The ring con is actually like extremely.
Rigid?
Resistant. Like, it's...
Right.
It's...
Does it not feel flimsy? It looked like a...
No,
not at all.
Surprisingly, like...
Oh, that's good to hear.
I was like, holy shit, this thing, I could...
Because it's not cheap. So.
No, and then, well, in the beginning, they're like, let's check your intensity, and they have you, like, hold it in, and, like, you know, I was, like, giving it my all, and after, like, 5 seconds, I was, like, sweating. It was like, holy shit, this thing is really...
I was wondering because that looked like, you know, when you see the models playing it in the commercials, it's like
they probably want to
maybe
make it
they're
look-
making it like make it look really good and like you're actually using it. It's all flimsy and like flying all over the place. But that's good to hear. That it's actually,
I was like shocked and it's really durable and I guess resistant, I would say, and which are the things you want it to be for something like this.
Mm-hmm. Well, how many calories are you burning? What does it tell you you're burning on after a stage?
I think it's like maybe. 90 or something.
Okay, so
I was like, yeah, something like 50 per like level, not in like the whole state. Like it's like, you know, 1-1, 1-2, 1-3, whatever.
Yeah, okay.
Like I played like the first 3 or 4 levels, and I didn't actually go all the way to the boss yet. So I, you know, I played like maybe an hour or so, and like it's
are you sweating?
Oh yeah, and it's way more. I feel like it's way more of a, you know, low-grade workout than Wii Fit ever was. Like, Wii Fit never... I didn't spend a lot of time with Wii Fit because it's boring as hell, but, like, the time that I did spend with it, I did not get out of it what I'm getting out of this. Mm. This I want to keep playing. And, like, the game is fun, too. It's, like, it uses the Breath of the Wild engine, so it, like, it looks a little bit like Breath of the Wild, the world does. And you have action, so you're, like, you're jogging in place, basically, is, like, how you're moving through the stages. If you jog fast, you'll dash, you'll run fast. You, squeeze the ring con to shoot out like bursts of air that you can like break boxes as you run by them, or you can hit stuff. You hold the ring con down and point it towards the ground and squeeze it to jump.
Oh, that's cool.
And then you can like hold it in while you're doing that to sort of like glide, so you'll like jump kind of far, and you're picking up like rings in the environment and shit like that, like I don't know, gold or whatever. And then when you get into battles, like we said, you do these different workouts to like fight, and you level up like an RPG. And so when you first get in a fight, it takes a while to finish it. But like, if you, rather than go on to the next stage, if you do the first stage over again, you can kind of grind a little bit and make yourself stronger and level up. And then the fights will go a little faster. So it's got like the very core elements of a role-playing game.
Right. Do you ever find yourself, I'm really curious, like playing it differently than you would if you didn't have to actually exercise to do things like normally you'd smash every pot or whatever, but you're like, fuck, I'm not going to like jump here or hit that crate just because I'm like a little tired, or does it actually make you you still play it the way you do, and that's actually making you exercise. There's not enough time
to think about that, I feel like, because you're kind of running through these stages, and so, like, yeah, I'm trying to hit everything, but if I miss it, I can't go back anyway, so you kind of have to
So you're, like, flying...
You're on rails.
Kind of like a runner, like, flying through the stages.
Yeah, I mean, you're running as fast as you can, as you are, you know, because it's based on how fast you're actually running in place.
Right, right. So it's kind of like...
And, like, when you come to stairs, you have to lift your legs higher, so, like, it's kind of like you have to bring your knees up in order to... And then you'll go upstairs faster and stuff like that.
And if you don't bring your knees, you just stop on the stairs?
No, you still don't go, but you just go... Oh, do you not?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
On stairs anyway, yeah.
You can't just stop walking and turn and smash the crates or whatever.
No, you can't go back. I've stopped. You can stop.
You can stop, but you can't go backwards.
Right, you can't go back, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if you pass it, you passed it, so... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I like it more than I thought I would.
I'm impressed, honestly.
It's like enough of a workout for me. So I used to go to the gym twice a week. I haven't gone to the gym in a while, and I just don't have time anymore. And for this, it's like, oh, well, I definitely can make time to do this every night at least. And yeah, it's not the same as like going to the gym, but it actually feels like it's something, whereas WeFit, I really didn't feel like it was anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the problem with WeFit was like...
WeFit felt like glorified yoga or something like that, but this actually feels like actual workout. Like, you actually sweat, and you actually... Like, my muscles are a little bit sore because that ring is so hard to, like, squeeze in.
But
so.
Isn't a lot of it, like, holding poses and stuff that it is also... like WeFit or no?
There are yoga elements to it. Like, you know, the battles are turn-based, so you choose what exercise you want to do. And there's a cooldown for each one. So if you do squats, you can't do squats again.
Ah, interesting.
Until for one more move.
Okay.
So you have to diversify a little bit. And you do get to choose what you want to target. Mm. So that's nice. You can personalize the workout a little bit that way.
Mm. You can choose what you want to target by just choosing the move you do or separately?
Yeah.
Okay. Huh. Interesting.
So like if you wanted to work on your quads, you would do squats.
Right.
And then you would do like another exercise that also engages your quads.
But there's no like, I want to do, is there like a strength training stage as opposed to like a cardio stage, or is it all just mixed up?
Well, there's specifically what we're talking about so far is like the adventure mode, but and that's actually all I've played. But there are other modes where you can just do specific exercises and things. So I haven't actually tried those yet, but I think that's probably what you're talking about. Like if you want to just focus on one thing for like an hour, I think you can.
Yeah.
But it's not like the adventure mode is like you're playing through a story, like you've released some demon out of the ring or whatever.
How is
like,
the story and the writing and the
characters? It's fine. It's got voice acting. It's fun. It's simple. It's like, you know, it's obviously, it's not like, you know, it's not Final Fantasy or something like that. It's super basic. Like you're just running to fight.
Yeah. I mean,
guy.
I was thinking about that. Like, I think the story in this game had to be pretty light because if they make it really great, then people are going to be exercising more than they should, and they're going to hurt themselves. And they preach like taking breaks all the time.
Yeah, I'm not sure that that's a reason why not to make good, but I mean,
I actually did think a couple times when I was playing it though that they did this that way, or they did this that way because they don't want you to do it too much, or maybe because of the way they like limit how often you can use a certain move or whatever. Because if you actually keep using, like, let's say you have a move that you find is actually effective,
yeah,
but you do it over and over again, you're actually probably going to hurt yourself because it's not easy.
Yeah, I feel like doing that, how they broke up the stages,
yeah,
having like suggesting taking breaks and stuff like that, I'm sure is like part of it. Graham, I'm shocked that you're not like Mr. you know, healthy workout number one, that you're not on the board.
You don't know Graham very
the long. Ring fit train, Graham.
I already do a thing.
Are you still going to the gym?
No,
these days,
no, in the mornings. It's awful.
No interest in this at all?
Not at all, no.
Really?
I'd rather just keep going to the gym.
It's not for people who actually go to the gym regularly, yeah. I feel
like. It's for gamers with a Z.
I don't think so. I mean, based on their marketing and stuff like that, it's for people who are in shape as much as people who are not in shape.
Can you play it in handheld mode?
No, it's not.
As weird as that sounds.
Well, not handheld mode. You can play it in like tabletop mode.
You can play it on the plane. Mode. Yeah, you can't play it on the plane.
Yeah, you can't. It's not compatible with Switch.
Yeah, let's just detach your Joy-Cons.
Exactly.
Now I'm going to try that.
I should probably try that.
They do have a disclaimer on the box, though, that says it's not compatible with Switch Lite.
Oh,
so I don't know what happens if you put the card in. I'm sure it'll probably boot
that
up anyway.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Curious to see how much you guys stick with it, because ultimately that's the test.
It does seem like it's really well made for it to be a slow burn, like staple in your routine. Mm-hmm. Like I got home late last night and I put on rice, so I had like 40 minutes to kill, and I just did Ring Fit for 40 minutes.
Nice. There you go. Nice. Yeah, I'm definitely going to play more. I don't think I can play it every day. I can't play anything every day, basically.
I wonder if it reward you for doing anything regularly, or like, you know, I feel like...
It is the reward, Mark.
It should. It should do something where it's like, it knows if you've logged in, you know.
It does reward you...
Twice a week or something.
Yeah, it definitely does reward you for that, and it rewards you also for good fitness practices. So like, it gives you the option to do warm-up exercises at the beginning.
Oh, nice. Okay, that's smart.
And they don't tell you until like the second or third time you log in that you actually get experience points for doing that.
Oh,
Yeah. It's cute too. Like they do, like when you at the end of a stage, when you finish it, there's like a thing where you like actually like, I don't know what you're doing. You're like releasing your EXP into the wild. You're basically like, you do like a pose and then like celebrate or whatever. But that also is like an exercise in a sense. Like you're basically like you're holding a squat for a minute and then you like put your hands in the air with the ring and then you get your reward or whatever. Like,
cool.
Yeah. It's cool. It's polished. It made me think like, you know, like so many Nintendo things, this is probably like a one and done and we'll never see another game. But it would be cool to see other games that support this that are actually more... Yeah, like games, like it'd be cool if they just had a mode in Zelda where you could actually use this thing to run around and that's, attack stuff.
Honestly,
or whatever,
that's
you know?
What I was thinking. Like,
Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, take you know, if you're a third party that has an RPG, that just another excuse to release it again, just make it compatible with this.
Yeah.
Or system level, they could just make you know this motion be up and this
how much
down.
I mean, you can use it to control the menus and stuff. Like yeah, you're using it when it's on.
Really?
You're using it to control to go through the
like
switch menus
aiming,
and stuff.
Or how is it working?
Turning like a steering wheel.
Oh,
turning,
okay. And then flipping it up and down. Yeah.
Interesting.
And then you know the Joy-Con is in it right in front of you, and so it's sideways. So the buttons are also like the what is it? The B button becomes the A button, I guess, because it's like on its side. You know what I mean? But like you have it in front of you, and you can use the stick to move around. And
has
stuff.
It felt? I seem to remember. I never really did much Wii Fit myself, but I seem to remember some people being annoyed that it wasn't like reading things right that you were doing, and it wasn't like feel like calibrated correctly. But like I haven't heard you guys talk about that at all. As if
totally fine for
really
me.
Accurate. And
yeah,
I haven't had a problem yet.
If you need to recalibrate in a stage, you just point the Rincon down and it does it like right away, and it makes sure to calibrate everything before you actually do an exercise to make sure that you're not hurting yourself. So yeah. I haven't had any
PSA
problems with
there, a little PSA there.
If they were smart in Japan, like what they should do is like team up with like, you know, Dragon Quest or something like really like Monster Hunter or whatever. I don't know, something super famous here and actually put a license on it, because I feel like a lot of people aren't
should
even
totally
going to pay attention
to
this because like what is a Ring Fit? Like I don't
still,
know.
But I mean, it was sold out the day it came out at Staya, right? And I think
was
I got the only copy left at Big Camera on the way back.
They should release DLC to make the games compatible with it. That way you encourage people to buy the original game.
If they're going to do that for Labo VR that nobody owns and is kind of garbage anyway, they might as well do it for this, because like this is actually a cool thing. It would be fun. So
how much walking would you have to do in Breath of the Wild, like in real life?
That'd be awesome if you had to actually like walk, do all the motions,
like, yeah, run
shit.
Across the whole map and like
be a lot of baby bouncing.
Graham,
what's up?
What have you been doing? What have you been playing? If not Ring Fit Adventures, what have you been taking up your game time with?
There's a game called Indivisible.
I'm familiar with it.
Finally
playing
came
that
out.
Too.
Good for them. Good
yeah, made
for them.
Made by some friends of ours.
Made by some fighting game veterans.
Mike Z.
Lab Zero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? Tell me about it.
Well, I mean, so the original pitch was basically like, hey, we have all these great artists that we had working on Skullgirls and stuff. We're going to use them. We're just like make a Valkyrie profile. By gum, they did it. They did it. It's out. It's like it's the same kind of setup where basically, I mean, you have your main character, Ajna. And then she like picks up all these sorts of characters as she goes through the world, and then you make a party of four, and they're each mapped to a different button on the face of your controller, and so that's what controls them. So it's basically the same kind of setup in that regard. Like the battle system is basically lifted from that, and then it has like its own story that's gonna go for, and it's trapped a lot in like Indian mythology, which is really cool because that gets ignored a lot.
Yeah,
it's like all sorts
like
of stuff
Southeast
that's very
Asian,
different.
A lot of Southeast Asian culture stuff.
Yeah, and it's really neat. I'm enjoying it so far.
How far are you in?
Like, I don't know what the hour total is, but like there's a point, I don't know, like maybe 5 or 6 where the game starts to open up and you can now go to like 3 different destinations.
Okay.
And so I'm like, I'm right at that. Went to the first one, I've been hanging out a bit.
In the battles, you want to describe what the battles are like? Because it's kind of like a combo-based system. There's a little bit of fighting DNA.
Sure, yeah. I guess if you don't actually know what a Valkyrie profile is, that might make it tough. But like each character, so they're mapped to a face button. You have 4 characters.
Right.
Like Ajna, I guess, is always one. I haven't tried to remove her, maybe you can. But Ajna is there. And then you have like 3 other characters with her. And then, for example, you have a dude who's just on triangle. But the dude is on triangle. He has 3 commands, so he has like a normal triangle, or you can hold up or you can hold down. It does different attacks when you do it. So basically,
up will like juggle foes or whatever.
Juggle foes, and like eventually enemies get shields that you then have to like break by using different combinations of attacks, like a down one followed by an up one, and then you can finally attack them. And then by building your combo meter, it builds like you have this bar, which if you build, then you can then do special attacks, which you do by like holding R1 and then hitting the button for that character. So you're trying to like, the more you build your combo and do more damage like in one interrupted string, then you build more of that meter all at once, you get to do your special attacks faster.
Right.
And so it's like repeating that, and then you get all these different characters that have different effects.
You can hit people up in the air, and certain characters attack in the air or not.
Yeah, and there are also some enemies that will they'll just start by default in the air. So then you'd have to use a character that can actually reach up there, because like Ajna, her default attack, if you're not holding any direction, she just walks up and she punches.
Yeah.
So obviously if there's a dude in the air, she's going to walk right underneath and be like, huh,
right,
and then nothing happens. So yeah. I mean, you do have to think about how like you start that off as well.
And the whole, all the characters are kind of like in her mind or something?
Yeah, she just like sucks them up. She has no idea what's going on. Okay. I mean, so far, like, I've really been enjoying playing. It's also very zippy. Like, you encounter the enemy on the field and you, like, you're right in the battle right away.
Right.
And you do it right away and then you're
the background.
Right, yeah, and then you're right
saving
back.
Saving is, like, immediate, too.
Saving is
nice.
Super immediate. Like, it's got that nice sound effect. Every time you do it, it's like, oh,
or something.
I like that a lot. Like, the probably the only thing is, like, the story's really scattershot and, like, all over the place. So I don't really totally. She doesn't know what's going on either. And I guess that's trying to, like, how they're selling it to you.
Okay.
Like, she just one day, this is like first 5 minutes of the game, like her village is burned down, and then she immediately like sucks up a dude that she meets, and she doesn't know why she sucked him up, but now he's just hanging out in her mind.
Okay.
And she just keeps doing
no
that.
Amnesia though.
No amnesia. No okay. amnesia. She just like keeps going forward and sucking up more people. She doesn't know what's going on. You don't know what's going on. And it just keeps pushing you from objective to objective.
Sure.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like the story is like, you know, it's weird. This game is like, so first of all, I definitely want to keep playing, like that's which is this says a lot, because a lot of games I'll try it in a day and then I'm done. But like I keep wanting to go back to it, and yet like yeah, parts of it feel slightly undercooked. So a bunch of reviews literally said janky. I wouldn't go that far, but like it just
said janky. I just say uneven.
Yeah,
it's very uneven.
Uneven and on times undercooked. Like some of the art is amazing, and then some of the art looks like it was just like they just put the concept art in the game or something. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or like it's got a really nice like anime intro that I think was made in Japan and stuff.
Studio Trigger, yeah.
And then, but then like there are other parts where it's just like. Oh, one thing that's been consistent is one thing Graham didn't even really mention is the general gameplay is like 2D platformer, like you're actually traversing levels, doing like Metroidvania type things, like you get an item and then you can go back and break through certain walls and stuff, and you're traveling around a world in that way, so that's kind of cool and refreshing, and it's actually, so far, that's been really well done. I feel like the levels designs are really good, and like, it feels good to travel around the world.
What about the music?
Music is really good too. It's Kikuta-san, the Secret of Mana guy, did the music, and it's great so far. The music is also really solid.
Traversal is fun. Like, and each time you get to a certain point in the storm, where like a character will give her a new like weapon, and then that weapon it implements it into her moveset. Like, for example, you just start out, you only have your fists, and then you get an axe, and then you get a bow. And so whenever these characters give you a thing, it becomes part of her moveset. So when you're using her in battle, she then gains access to using a bow and stuff. Also gives it to her in the traversal segments. So when you finally get your axe, you can put then get this thing where it's like, get a double jump, and like. The axe especially feels very satisfying. Every time like you punk that into a wall, it's like...
Yeah.
It feels good. And then, you know, there are parts where you like you click into the wall and jump up. And then from there, you can like wall jump off of that to get to other areas. Like, it feels good. Like, exploring the world feels like...
It's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Proper. But then, the characters talk a lot. Some of it's just like... some of it's good. And then some of it feels like it was just like I'm reading an internet forum or something. It's like, okay, maybe if they talked a little bit less and focused more on the just core points of the story. Because like... A lot of that early story, the first 30 minutes of the story could have been 5 hours. Like, a lot of shit happens to the point where you're almost like, okay, I think I'm supposed to care about this character, but that all happens so fast, I don't even have time to care, sort of thing, you know? So that part feels like undercooked, but the rest of it is pretty appealing, so I'm looking forward to
playing
more of it.
I'm having fun with it, too.
I like a lot of the character designs, even, like, some of the enemies and stuff like that.
I like the main character's voice. She has, like, an interesting...
Interesting accent, which her dad doesn't have, and that's neat, too, but...
Hey, maybe that's part of the story. Maybe we'll find out.
Yeah, no, I've been, again, like, just with it being, like, an Indian... centered mythology thing, like it all feels very fresh like that, because like it's characters that you usually don't see in that kind of game,
right?
Like, you know, all sorts of people wearing all sorts of costumes. I mean, it's representation you don't usually get, and that's a lot of fun. And again, the accents, that's reflected in the accents as well, so it's lots of different kinds of dialects of English that are fun just to, you know, to be around and hear.
Cool.
Very diverse voice cast. They have a lot of big voice actors in there too, so if you're a fan
they do. I checked out the credits, god damn,
yeah, they got everybody.
How do they afford that shit on a Kickstarter budget?
Yeah,
yeesh.
Based in LA, so that probably
that's actually true. I forgot about that.
Yeah, man. So you guys will probably keep playing that.
Oh yeah,
check in on that maybe next episode.
Yep.
Roy, anything you want to check in on? Red Dead 2 Adventures. Is that Undead Nightmare turn out to be true?
It doesn't look like it.
Oh,
although
no.
I have encountered some of the zombie things.
You have.
So that's not like a bug or anything.
Well, wait, so it was true.
When I say zombie things, though, I just mean like I found a dog. The dog barked, and I followed the dog for a while, and it leads me to a corpse that looks kind of weird, like kind of like gray with like. Strange eyes.
Okay,
that's it.
Well, it's not Halloween yet. Maybe this is like leading up to you know, next week.
Maybe I hope to be surprised, but
I mean, otherwise, why do that? That's almost like intentionally misleading. It's
I don't know if like
low key spoopy.
I don't know if maybe just in the assets department somebody accidentally hit gray on the skin and yellow on the eyes or something. I don't know.
But a dog like took you there to see it. Like I don't know.
I mean, I did loot the body and got like 10 cents. So maybe that was the whole point.
Haunted 10 cents, Roy. It's going to come back to haunt you.
Yeah, so, but I've been, that's like my, every night I play that game.
Just loving it?
Oh, yeah.
You have a crew that you're playing with?
No.
Just rolling solo?
My crew is my horse.
Okay.
I'm all about my horse. Sure. You get really close to your horse in that game because you spend a lot of time with them.
Yeah.
They're like.
What's your horse's name?
Well, I have a couple. The one I'm riding right now is named Kinder.
Did you name it?
Like the surprise?
Okay. No, what's the surprise?
Kinder Surprise is the surprise.
What is that?
What, that's a chocolate brand. You ever heard of Kinder
Surprise? Okay. Yeah,
are
so
you talking about more Canadian sweets here? Oh,
no, so I did name him after the Kinder Happy Hippo.
I don't know what that is.
Okay.
So lost.
So the horses all did have different colors and different breeds, and he was like a chocolate Rowan like skin. Mm. So I was like, oh, chocolate. I'll name him after some kind of candy. And I was like, what candies do I like? Kinder Happy Hippos. Those are fucking... They're good.
It's probably the same brand.
Yeah.
I like Kinder. So
Happy Hippos.
Yeah, they're like a Europe thing, I think.
Kinder Surprise got
heard
toys
of
in
Kinder.
It.
It's Italian chocolate and confectionery company Kinder, owned by Ferrero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Italian.
Never seen this thing before.
So that's my
We're
current
just so
horse.
International, Roy.
I know. Yeah, I am. Yeah. Somebody actually brought me those when they went to Italy, so that explains it.
Speaking of bringing us things, we should
shout out to
fan, friend, family of the show, Steve
Friend.
Pharma.
He's a fan and a friend.
Who brought
friend.
Us
friend of the show.
Gold Label Whiskey and...
God bless you.
Tell us what these are.
Mark has his pronunciation down. He said
Stroopwafel.
Stroopwafels.
Yeah. This is Stroopwafel.
Very yummy.
Did you guys... I'm surprised you guys didn't eat all the Stroopwafels.
We had...
That's your box.
That's yours. We ate our own.
Wait, really? I have a box over there.
No, that's not his
okay.
box.
Oh, this that's ours. Our box. Then don't touch
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
That's not for you, Mark.
Get your hand away.
God bless you.
They're delicious.
Steve Pharma.
Yeah. Thank you very much for the gifts.
Yes. Bring gifts anytime, folks.
So your horses?
We want to encourage that.
What? Talking about your horses.
I was, yeah, yeah. But I mean...
No,
we
keep telling us
we don't need to
go back to that. Which horse did you go with, Roy?
So my current horse is a Dutch Warmblood, which is a work-focused horse, which means it's good at...
A literal workhorse, okay.
Yeah, it's good at, like, carrying around heavy things.
All
right. Because right now I'm focusing on being, a trader. So I kill deer, I bring it to my camp. Well, I kill deer, load it onto my horse, bring it to my camp.
Baby deer.
Repeat. Sometimes,
strangles
the baby
really
deer.
Fun.
I mean, for me,
Red
at the
popular.
End of the day, it feels really good
I think
to just
Roy
like
really, you know, like loves the mundane in video games. You know,
I mean, if you call it that, I think like
it's taking a life.
For us,
that's murdering a living creature. You call
I
that
mean,
mundane?
You could, that's something you could theoretically
it's
do in real, life, Roy.
Yeah.
Would you want to do that in real life?
It's hard to do on the streets of Tokyo.
Well, that's true.
What, murder babies?
No, murdered
strangled deer.
Load them onto your horse.
Put them on your horse. And sell them.
But anyway, I'm like a pretty high level now, so I'm getting to the point where I can be like, I can have any horse I want. So I'm trying to find like the jack of all trades horse that meets all of my criteria.
Do you come across other players in your travels?
Yes.
Do you shoot them?
I have. I have only in self defense.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Sometimes you just gotta take a motherfucker.
Oh yeah.
Out.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like a lot
they,
of times.
They start it always.
Yeah. A lot of
Always?
Times.
Do you ever stand
I,
up?
I never.
A pause
I,
there.
Is there
no,
any
no.
like role playing happening where like you both meet each other on your horse, and then he seems like he's trying to start something? You're like walk
you're
away.
There any, like shootouts and
yeah.
stuff. Or?
Yeah.
There
you
have
don't
been.
Do
so
this, man.
I turn off mic stuff because I don't want to. I don't want to hear any of that shit.
So they're like yelling at you and you don't even hear them.
Potentially. Potentially.
So okay, somebody like rolls up to you on a horse like, fight me, pussy.
And I just like turn around and walk away. Yeah, this could be happening. Yeah. I have had tense moments where it's like, the other day, some guy was messing with my horse, and my horse kicked him, which
Wait,
was
you
great. Didn't
shoot a fucking guy who was messing with your horse.
Well, so
you
I just I came
horse.
Out of the gun shop.
Dude, you don't.
And
you don't
I couldn't quite see what he was doing. My horse kicks him. Like, well,
matter.
Problem solved right there. My horse took care of it.
You didn't shoot him in the fucking head after that?
He was already dead.
I was watching him. I had my shotgun out. I was ready.
Dude,
I was ready
Roy.
To cut him in half if he did anything.
You're just begging
but
people to fuck with your horse now. If
well,
you
no.
don't lay down the law.
They got to start shit first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they did.
They already started
the horse
shit. They were fucking
him.
With his horse.
Come on. No, maybe he was just standing behind the horse and it kicked because that's what horses do.
That's the thing. I couldn't quite tell.
I think
matter.
Roy raises his horse to know when to kick a man.
If you're standing close enough to the horse to get kicked, you've fucked up. You deserve to die.
All right, well, it's hard to argue with that logic.
That is frontier justice.
And you were, like, in the gun shop. I mean, of all places.
Yeah,
you
I just
were ready.
Polished
yeah.
that shotgun. It was all ready to go.
God damn.
All right, well, why don't we take a break and polish our shotguns, if you know what I'm saying. We'll come back with the news. Right, Dermot?
Yeah, man.
All right. Stick around. We'll be right back. Okay, we are back with the news.
News.
Here we go. Continuing our theme to news. That was
appropriate.
Acceptable. Not allowed in Shibuya. Stop it. Stop it.
That's true.
You want to explain that?
Do you want to talk about that?
No, Shibuya is illegal. No, hold on.
Shibuya is illegal.
Halloween is illegal in Shibuya this year.
Drinking is illegal. Idiots in the streets.
They're probably going to move to a place that has more sense now. But
they're just going to bring booze with them.
Yeah, like that's also very likely.
No. It's not that you're not allowed to drink. Period,
I know.
It's true.
But
I could take a water bottle and fill it with vodka. Nobody's going to fucking know.
That you could do.
There's like all these pimply Japanese mall cops coming back. You can't do that here, sir. No, they're just going to drink. They're just going to do their thing. But anyway,
it's bad too because we have a perch this year. The enhanced building is like the perfect get on the roof and just watch the carnage.
So you can
unfold.
Enjoy it from the comfort of your.
Exactly. It's still going to happen. There's still going to be a gazillion.
Oh,
people
it is for sure.
Gonna
happen, unfortunately,
but yeah. Like I think it's Don Quixote and also a couple different convenience store chains are not even selling alcohol tomorrow or on the 31st.
Yeah,
the Shibuya stores.
Okay. The fun thing about that is it creates a great. I don't like capitalism, but it creates a great supply versus demand thing situation. Like
an illicit strong vendor?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like if there's one...
I can show up with a coat full of strongs in the streets.
One of those, like beer backpacks like they have at the ballpark, you know, and just like...
But isn't it just Shibuya that they're not selling it? Like,
correct.
Can't you literally walk 5 minutes to the next station and just buy it and bring it?
Yeah, that's why I think a lot of people are naturally just going to like flood into like Kabukicho. Like, you know, the next crazy area that's going to
fall. Well, it's a double.
I'm curious if it will.
Or like Roppongi, right?
You realize the chaos that it's going to be, though, because the Rugby World Cup is going on right now, which means there's.
Oh, God help us.
Tons of.
Whites.
What do you call them? Hooligans? From.
Synonymous.
From those countries where, you know, people like to beat the shit out of each other, whether they win or lose, that stuff. And so then.
Hooligans.
Plus. Halloween is going to be its disaster.
Oh, you know what? I wonder though. Like, this is a weird situation where Halloween kind of falls in the middle of the week. So, is it this
weekend?
It's
Thursday.
Well, it's
so
kind
it's
of
this
in the middle.
Weekend,
this weekend will be
that.
Celebrated a bunch, but then also literally on Thursday and probably Friday.
And probably
too.
Next weekend. Japan's not.
But this happens
not
many
know.
Years where it's like happens in the middle. Usually, the one before it is the one closest to it. It's like this Friday is going to be the craziest night, but there will be a lot of runoff next week.
I'd say this Saturday
is
the craziest night.
Japan's not very good.
Also going to be bad
about holidays. I mean, you can buy Christmas trees. As of like 3 weeks ago already, here.
Dude. The
like,
fucking
it's just
there's a Christmas tree near our office, and that's not okay. It's just not okay.
You're not allowed to have Christmas anything
before
until
Halloween.
After Black Friday, like at least.
There are
even Halloween,
out there that start
even Halloween,
in September,
like for God fucking sake,
I know,
at least
get
Halloween
before Christmas.
It's supposed to be Black Friday, but anyway, also coming to Tokyo and to Shibuya, and in fact, the area where all this shit is going down is the Nintendo Store Tokyo.
Yay.
That's right.
Woo. So, Parco. It's having its big reopening. Hopefully, it gets finished in time because it's about a month away.
The Parco construction.
22nd.
The Parco construction. I don't know if you guys have seen like the Akira like.
I see it every day. Yeah.
Things,
mural,
like, yeah the Akira murals. Yeah, well, yeah, because that was where the Parco building was going up.
They took it down, but it's going to be inside the building now, or something.
I think so.
Right?
Yeah.
It's going to be
an exhibit. Near the Apple Store, right?
It's very near.
Apple Store. That's
right there.
I like those murals though.
Very near.
Yeah, great. Yeah, very.
I always
very
like being reminded of Akira. I was like,
Mm-hmm. Well, you're going to be reminded of it all next year, so buckle up.
They have some exclusive merchandise only available in the Nintendo Tokyo store. I think it's funny that the first store is in Tokyo and not Kyoto.
Well,
I mean, the first store was in New York, so.
No, I mean, it means first Japan store, right?
Sure,
I mean,
but
yeah,
even that.
True.
But.
Well, I mean, there's 30 times as many people to sell to here, so.
That's
totally
true.
Makes sense, although to. Tourism is still pretty
Kyoto's all old people
in
tourists.
Kyoto.
Well, that's true.
But every tourist that goes to Kyoto comes through Tokyo anyway, so you're still going to get that same energy.
If I worked there, I would still do it just to get annoying people from not taking pictures out in front of the
Nintendo building,
the building security stand.
Put like a recreation of the like old Nintendo building where everybody goes to take photos.
But so the thing about that store, though, so this is, you know, there's a Nintendo New York. A lot of people have been there if you live in the U.S. or know about it, at least. This is sort of like the equivalent of that in Tokyo, but they put the initial selection of goods on their website this week. Yeah. And it's like the bathroom of Nintendo New York.
Poultry.
There's like
nothing. Yeah, it's not.
You
not
could afford
great.
To buy everything in the store almost. Well, not you can't what? Because they're very expensive. But I mean, it's so
maybe
few
you
items.
Could.
It's few items, and they're just not a really cool design.
Aren't these just the exclusive items?
Yet.
No, it's the goods list. It doesn't say anything about that's exclusive it? Goods, right? It's
they don't
the,
sell actual games?
I would hope they're going to have all that kind of stuff,
we'll
too.
We'll find out soon, but I have a hunch this is going to end up being one of those. If you remember the old Parco, a lot of times you'd go there, and there's like, it's not even like an actual proper walk-in store. It's like an area
like
of a floor almost, kind of thing.
I don't know, because they're opening a Pokemon Center in that Parco, too, and they've already released like
along
concept
with
images of
Capcom
that.
Store,
Capcom
too.
Capcom Store, too.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be cool.
That sounds more like the thing they have going in Seoul. In Korea, there's like a department store. I think it's called iPark or iLand or something. Okay. And there's like a Nintendo section. It actually looks like a Nintendo store.
Mm-hmm.
But they sell games and like plushies.
This is cool to have. I mean, hopefully they'll have events there, other things. Yeah. I'm not looking forward to like more like reaction videos to every Nintendo thing of people.
I hope for the first Nintendo Direct to do a live viewing up here, it'll be like a whole bunch of Japanese people. It'll be a hype announcement. They just politely clap.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
If that really
they're doing a
like they do in Smash Brothers, really sarcastically.
Yeah, they're gonna sell games there, right?
They didn't say that yet.
Oh,
I don't know.
Wow.
But I mean, it would make sense. Would but then again, I don't know with the way retail works in Japan. Maybe not. Who knows? But
I'm sure they'll have lots of Japan style items like face cloths. And maybe rolls of tape with Mario
and
on
clear
it.
Files.
Clear
and,
files? There we go.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Hey, very well. Like well acrylic stains.
If we had a Japanese Family Feud, that would have been like one or two on the answer.
Like, I haven't bought those Famicom controllers because I don't feel like ordering
them. They're not
online,
going to sell them there.
So.
You will buy a clear file and you will like it.
You can pre-register to try to get in. There's like 2 days advance thing. We all,
we all
entered. So, and we can
I'd
bring
feel
a friend.
More Charlie Chocolate Factory if there was actually something like worth getting there.
Well, you never know. Maybe there's like an exclusive, you know.
Don't one of our friends at Nintendo get us into that? Come on.
I would hope so.
I would hope so too. I friends at Nintendo.
So. What about people that don't have friends at Nintendo
podcast?
Like at Apple stores, they have like the giveaway bags, right?
Yeah.
So hopefully they have something here.
One thing you won't buy there, even if you do buy it there, is an Overwatch physical little
that hurt my head.
Card for Switch. Because the physical version does not have a cartridge, it's just a download code. I hate it when people do that.
That's a
really
thing
lame.
Here.
Yep, you get a digital code printed on a piece of paper. And also they canceled I think we talked about that last time, but they canceled the Overwatch event at the Nintendo store that was going to happen in New York.
BlizzCon this weekend?
I didn't know about that.
I think that is, yeah. I don't. It's not this weekend. It's for coming up very soon.
That's going to be interesting to watch.
It is
Diablo 4.
There's a lot of drama going down
in
BlizzTown.
Diablo 4 is going to be there.
Supposedly Diablo 4 and a remaster, remake of Diablo 2, which would be cool.
Oh.
Wait, I just started playing Diablo 3 super randomly, like 5 years late, because I just moved and like I'm waiting for good internet. I have like shitty internet right now, but I'm waiting for good internet. And so we were looking for couch co-op games that I own, and I actually have a copy of Diablo 3 that somebody gave me.
Huh.
And I was playing it. Yeah, it's Diablo, but I kind of like it. So like I really liked Diablo 2. So like if they are remaking it rather, I would definitely play it.
So you're gonna wait for the good internet? When does that come?
Oh God, it takes so long, especially right now. I guess it's the worst time of the year because everybody's moving now, and so like this is the literally like out of the 12 months, October
I thought
and
it was
November,
April or something.
No, they say like right now is the worst. I don't really understand why.
Really?
I guess I don't. Is it school?
School would be
something?
April, so, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, but it ends.
Oh, for school. People join the workforce in April.
Yeah, I don't understand, but basically it's like a month wait for.
But they just say that every month.
Like, oh, this,
no, I've gotten the same internet before, and it wasn't this long. Like, it sucks. Actually, Graham, you're getting it in your new apartment too. It's like, yeah, it sucks. It's like you have to wait a month for them to come and do construction on your building, and then like another month until the internet actually shows up. It sucks ass, but.
Analog Pocket is a gorgeous modern handheld for playing your old Game Boy games, and not just that. What is it? Game Boy, Game Boy Color, Game
adapters
Boy Advance,
for other things,
Game Gear, Lynx.
Yeah,
a bunch of stuff.
10 times the resolution of Nintendo's classic device. I should fucking hope so. 3.5-inch, 665 ppi LCD display with a 1600 by 1440 resolution, built-in backlight, rechargeable, of course, via USB-C, SD card slot, headphone jack, remappable buttons, And then there's a built-in synthesizer called Nanoloop.
Nanoloop is actually like a super big deal. That's like, you know, basically what...
Is it?
Yeah, that's like kind of what kicked off a lot of the chiptune revolution. Like a lot of people use that software to make music. So like having that built in is actually really awesome for, you know, basically people who basically make music on Game Boys, which has become quite a thing over the last 10 years.
It's the first one of these guys where I'm like, I'm considering it.
Mm. Yeah.
It's like with the, I mean, there was the Super Nintendo one and then the NES one and the Genesis one. Yep. Usually I have a FrameMeister, so I just play on original hardware a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But there's no good way to play a lot of these games anymore. And having all that in one little unit.
What about FrameMeister on your Super Nintendo with
Super Game Boy? Could you do a Super Game Boy thing, but also with converters, like this can play Neo Geo Pocket.
That's true.
Yeah. And otherwise you'd have to play that on a fucking Neo Geo Pocket. Do you know how painful that is?
Yeah.
God, it's bad.
They're going to sell a dock separately, no pricing yet, that's going to support output Bluetooth controllers and wired USB, and output to TV, which would be
ironically, like, the cool. Game Boy part of this is the least interesting part of it, because, whatever, there's a million ways to play Game Boy games these days. Even if you have a GameCube, I have my GameCube still hooked up with the Game Boy player primarily for that, but, like, I would definitely want to play, some of that other stuff. I never... Was it just me, or was Lynx on here, too? Am I just misremembering?
I think...
Does it do Lynx? No, I think Lynx is on there.
Yeah, I think I heard that.
Lynx, Neo Geo Pocket Color, and Game Gear, I think, were the three attachments.
Yeah, Lynx and Game Gear, actually, were two systems that I really never touched back in the day. Like, they just were not... There was no... I was too young to afford them.
Lynx has a couple games.
Yeah, Lynx has a couple games. It's like a historical thing to me. It's interesting. And Game Gear had a few good games.
Yeah, it had some strange Sonic games. Tails Trouble, that weird racing game.
Yeah, had a version of Magic Knight Rare.
It did.
There was interesting stuff. Yeah, I would want to play.
Some X-Men games.
In theory, Master System games would work, right?
Well, Master System already works on the Mega Drive. Whatever they call the analog Mega Drive thing, which is amazing, too.
So 2020 for this, $199. I guess no more specific date other than that, and not a lot of pricing on some of the other.
I feel like this is the first like kind of bold initiative from those guys, because until now, I mean, don't get me wrong, the stuff they've made is amazing, but it didn't involve like an actual screen. You know what I mean? Like actually manufacturing hardware that has a screen is like I feel like a whole level above the stuff they've been doing until now, and it's FPGA, right? So like it's, you know, gonna. And it's not like emulating, it's actually going to like recreate the hardware basically perfectly. It's pretty impressive.
Are you guys imagining you'll use like cartridges, or I think you can like just, what is an SD card? You can,
it will don't play. Talk
about card. Yeah. There is we'll an both. SD card slot. They're not talking about what that's for. Don't ask what that's for.
Okay. All right.
Just be a thing that gets for some reason.
That's for firmware updates for people who don't have internet.
Right?
I do have some cartridges. I mean, I got like my Tactics Ogre on Game Boy still. I don't really have that many now. Yeah, I have the Night of Lotus, and I have like Harvest Moon 2 on Game Boy. Mm. Like, I don't have that many, but
yeah, like, I can't help but play the capitalist again here and wonder what this is going to do to the value of
hopefully it'll tank them
physical media.
Hopefully it'll tank them.
Well, this is a pretty enthusiast, you know, based thing. So as much as awesome as it is, it's not like it's going to sell a million, or you know, it's not like everyone in the world is going to have one of these.
True.
It will be great for planes, though. I don't like playing my Switch like handheld.
Have they talked about battery life? Actually, did you talk about it just now or no?
No.
I'm wondering how.
I'm not sure. I don't think they've commented on it, but
That would be a pretty big concern. It would suck if it only lasts for like an hour or something. But
it depends on how good the screen is, I guess. Yeah.
Pokemon Go. Speaking of battery life, Pokemon Go finally getting online player battles in 2020.
So
suck up your battery.
They already have online player battles. So what is this exactly? Because like you can already play online and fight people.
Well, you have to do that locally, don't you?
No, you can do that online. I do that all the time with Brad. Well, I used to when I played a Pokemon Go, but
maybe it's now you can do it with people that aren't your friend.
Like, what is this announcement? This is an actual announcement PvP? That happened.
Yeah.
So
really, you can do PvP now with, you don't have to be in it. You do it over the internet.
Well, now it's going to be called the Go Battle League.
So maybe it's more like they're just turning it into a proper competitive thing, like where you actually can.
Mark, please read the story.
Breaks Pokemon up into different divisions based on their CP,
while he's holding the story.
Meaning that players have to carefully coordinate which Pokemon to power up and which to leave at certain levels in order to make their tier cuts. This is, I think, from probably Polygon. Thank you, Polygon.
Yeah, and also the Verge gave us the article about the Game Boy thing.
Okay, thank you, Verge. Online player battles and a ranking system are finally coming to Pokemon Go in 2020.
Maybe that's it.
I wonder what that. I mean, the ranking thing is new. Yeah, I wonder. Maybe it's more. It's turning into a more of a kind of competitive thing. Which actually, yeah, not to veer too much, but like it's Dragon Quest Walk, so I'm still playing that, which is why I'm not playing Pokemon Go. A new event came out today, and that actually has rankings too. Like you have these events now where you go to a location and you fight a bunch of monsters in like a dungeon and you get points and you get ranked against everyone else in the country. And like, it's actually like, of course it's Japan, so everybody's like a million times better than you, even if you have like a perfect
right,
battle.
Right.
But like already they're, I feel like they're taking steps ahead of like Pokemon Go in like a month, where, you know, Pokemon Go, I feel like should have been 2 years ago. So maybe that they're doing that in Pokemon Go now is almost a reaction to like, hey, there's competition now. We have to like up our game and actually do stuff that people have been asking for.
Does that level of competition make you be like, maybe I need to spend some more money on this game?
No, not me anyway. I mean, I have a pretty strict, I'm only gonna get stuff in that game once a month is what I've decided, and I've been good about that so far. But also, it doesn't feel like you can pay to win so much in that game, so it, you know, I haven't really felt like I need to.
I forgot that a game called Pokemon Masters exists, apparently. Some Pokemon mobile game.
Yeah, Dermot was playing it for like a week.
I still log in every day to get my gems.
Apparently they're apologizing for disappointing players. which makes it seem not great. They talked about the common complaints. It sounds like they're addressing it and saying they're going to try to tackle it. How do you feel, Dermot?
I mean, if they could turn it into a game that I want to play every day, that'd be great.
Saying, yeah, just clunky, you know, design make it good. Always felt slow and underdeveloped. The autoplay feature paled in comparison to autoplay in other games. Does that jibe with your experience?
Yeah, pretty much, man. Also, just give me Red already. Okay. I'm saving up my gem for Red.
This poll, sadly, is already over, so you can't take part, but there was a pretty awesome poll for R-Type Final 2, the follow-up to... I love this Polygon.
It was very well written. It was a very cleverly written Polygon article.
Our friend of the show, Mike McWhorter, to 2003's incorrectly named R-Type Final for PlayStation 2. Thanks to a crowdfunding campaign, they're doing a second one now. That might actually still be going on.
Wait, they're doing a second crowdfunding campaign?
So they did the first one
not enough?
Then the first one, they reached their goal on Kickstarter, but then they were like... They didn't really get the word out, and also it had like a very short deadline. I don't think it was like the full period for Kickstarter.
It was like 14 days.
Yeah, so they got feedback on Twitter.
So they did it wrong.
Some places do that sometimes.
And they were like, so they're doing a Slacker backer thing.
It's basically that. It's basically like saying, hey, we're just open. It's not like, hey, we can't do it or whatever. It's like,
yeah, but you have to hit the goal in order for them to get anything.
I know,
right?
No, they did. They hit their goal, but after
the second time,
I don't know that the second one.
Second time, I don't think there's a goal.
No, there has to be. If it's Kickstarter, there has to. Oh, it's not Kickstarter.
It might just be.
I see.
I think it's just on their website.
Crowdfunding campaign.
I see.
I kicked 8,800 yen into that pot.
Nice.
The first time
for you, man.
Yeah. I made it happen.
But your vote. You only got one vote on the unlockable special ship.
And I voted for the correct ship,
which was okay. Hold on. Yeah. Let's hear the four proposed ships.
There was one correct ship.
You really got to see these two because the designs are pretty badass. So the R-104 White Requiem. Let's see. When a wave cannon is charged, the aircraft itself goes out of control. Da 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 da. These all have like one line of good lore to them, though. This one is, the cockpit is completely sealed, and no one has heard anything about this fighter's pilot.
Oh, interesting. I like that.
The R9 USO 800 April Fools, which, what does this one do?
This, I don't know. I don't know what the function is.
It has a function to introduce a malfunction to the enemy by showing disillusionment to
them.
This
is based on like when they originally announced R-Type Final 2. Yeah. They announced it as an April Fool's joke, and this was the ship in it.
Right.
So it's not now like as a deal. So if you vote for it, you can actually get
it. I really want to know what that gameplay mechanic is, showing disillusionment to them. That's actually the one that I voted for, which unfortunately did not win, just because I wanted to see what does that disillusionment add up to. So then you have a... TW3B, which nobody should ever have voted for.
I voted for this one. This one fucking rules, dude.
Blue Symphonies.
Yeah.
It's a good name.
It's just a fucking tank.
It's like a tank. It's a land ground-based attack vehicle. TW2 Kiwi Berry.
Yeah. But it's like it's R-Type. So you're floating around in space, shooting like, you know, monsters that are coming at you and shit. And they've got like a regular fucking ground vehicle that's just like attached to this floating
ship. Also, which you're not mentioning, excuse me, it also has like a megaphone attached to the front of it, which basically operates probably like a Parodius style thing, where just words shoot out of it and then you run the words into enemies and they die. And then finally, the winner was the Ouroboros, the BX1CX Ouroboros, which is
the
like
fleshy boy,
based on Bido technology, I think. Was this one?
Is I'm that just sure?
Yeah, it's a Bido one. It's crazy. The Bido one. Yeah.
But it says when the dose system reaches 100%, the force will be split up into three. Oh wait, I thought it. Yeah, it has optical camouflage. Anyway.
It says they made $1 million so far. Does that include from the first campaign?
I think
that was
the first campaign. Coming to Switch, PS4, Windows PC, Xbox One. What, Roy?
I don't. Why are we talking about this?
Because it's fucking awesome.
Dude, R-Type, man.
R-Type Final was really good.
All right.
God, the final was really
I'm glad
good.
We know the one sentence that goes to each of these things we can't see.
Yeah, I'm looking at them. You can see them. Right, look them up. Dorito it. Fallout 76, Roy, you gonna pay $12.99 a month?
I am not.
What?
No, it's, Roy, it's ridiculous.
What if I told you...
Wait, they're adding a fee?
You would get 1,650 atoms every month, Roy. That's like a $16 value.
That just gives me like 10 different ways to look like Vault Boy each month, which like I am not interested in at all.
But wait, Roy.
Yeah.
What if I also told you there was a special Ranger armor outfit?
All right, well, that's actually the only cool part.
Which includes the iconic uniform from Fallout New Vegas. Fan favorite.
Did that's they a, fix that game ever?
Do we have you there yet? Are you there yet?
No. This is ridiculous. Okay. It's like
$100 a year.
The cost on this is very bad.
A survival tent, Roy?
I don't even know what that
is. I think it's like a warp spot.
Oh, okay, like right.
Movable. Right.
But I mean, if you have control over the whole map like that, that doesn't matter anyway. You can just warp some
playable fast travel point, Roy.
It's really dumb. People are very mad about this too. Like I was looking at the Reddit thread devoted to this, there was not one positive person I saw as long as I was scrolling down until I lost interest.
Yeah.
Not one.
Like it was kind of shocking, and I mean people were goofing on it pretty hardcore on Twitter, but just
the ask is incredible. That amount of money.
That's also a.
It's a huge amount of money.
Also, the way it works is like if you do that, your private server thing. Let's say that.
So that's another thing you get, right? You get access to like a 7-player. You can like basically spin up your own
server. Yeah, yeah. But pretend like all of us are playing together.
Yeah.
Dermot's the only one who's paying $12.99 a month for whatever reason Dermot chooses to.
Damn.
We're all in Dermot's world. Dermot's like, hey, I gotta go, guys. I gotta feed my dog. So he's gotta leave. If he leaves, we all get kicked out of his world.
Wait, really?
It's his world. We can't just go in it after he's gone.
You just live in it.
Yeah.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
That's how that shit works?
Yeah, apparently.
Okay, that's kind of messed up.
So then we all have to pay.
Is anybody playing that game anyway? Like,
Masa hasn't been playing it since Monster Hunter came out. Mm. I haven't played it since the last time I updated you guys on the podcast.
Mm. Atlus is releasing Persona 5 Scramble in Japan next February.
Looks good.
On the Nintendo Switch.
And PS4.
Doesn't it have a PS4? New title?
Yeah.
What is it exactly? Is this the like expanded Persona 5 or is it something different?
It's the Musou.
Oh, I'm sorry. The new part of this is, that it's that's 20th of February in Japan.
A lot of zeros and twos, in the release date.
Standard edition or treasure box edition containing a bunch of additional goodies. Blah, blah, blah. Story takes place a year and a half after the ending of Persona 5. Apart from Joker, players control all the other members of the Phantom Thieves.
Yeah, they put out a new trailer for the sedan. It actually looks really robust and interesting. Like, there's a lot of the Persona 5 elements in there, more than just, like, a typical Musou game.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, they showed the calendar, they showed cutscenes, they showed, like, bits in a cafe. It seems much more like a real game than a Warriors game.
Yeah, it definitely feels like Alice is, like, Koei Tecmo being like, you're not going to release shit on us. Yeah. Like, we're going to make sure this looks good.
Koei Tecmo also made your latest Fire Emblem game. They just make all the games now. Koei Tecmo making it is not even a headline anymore. They just make all the games.
It's true.
They're like a quasi second party.
They've been busy. Almost.
Yeah.
Also been busy. Friend of the show, Alex.
Me?
You've been busy. You finished pretty much writing your book, right?
We
talked about it earlier. Why don't you plug it one more time here now, though?
Oh,
give us,
yeah.
Give us a wild anecdote that's only found exclusive.
World exclusive.
Anecdote.
This,
that heretofore would have only been found in your book. Yes, I want to put you on the spot.
Did you know that Resident Evil Remake was the last Resident Evil game to be greenlit for GameCube?
Of all GameCube games?
Of all six of them. So apparently...
All six GameCube games?
Yeah, apparently they thought, okay, well, we'll bring ports of 2, 3, and Code Veronica to GameCube. We'll bring 0 to GameCube. We'll move RE4 on there. And then they decided RE1 would be the last game. They greenlit RE1 last, but that one came out first. I thought that was kind of interesting.
That is weird. Was it going to go to a different system? And then, you mean? And then...
No, I mean, Remake was always a GameCube game, but apparently before the GameCube came out, Capcom decided, okay, we're going to put Resident Evil only on GameCube. So they're like, okay, well, we'll put 2, we'll put 3, we'll put Code Veronica, we'll put 4, we'll put 0. And then they were like, oh, that leaves just number 1 that hasn't been
Oh, so you're saying the one that turned out so awesome and was such a big deal and was actually the last one they decided first. To make. I see.
So you talked to everybody. You talked to pretty much all the directors. Was anybody you weren't able to? You talked to Mikami. You talked to Kamiya.
Yeah, the only director I didn't talk to was the one for Zero.
Oh, okay.
Because he still works at Capcom. So this isn't a Capcom-sponsored book, so I got to tread carefully.
Has the Zero guy, who is that? Has he worked on anything?
Oda-san, I think he did Mega Man 11.
Okay.
He directed that game.
He should be ashamed of himself for Resident Evil Zero, so I hope he's not.
I mean, the most interesting stuff about Zero wouldn't have come from like the director, to be honest. It would have come from other people.
There was a Zero anecdote in your RE2 stream, something that the...
Kamiya worked on it at the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Sweet Home, a lot of elements from Sweet Home
ended up in Zero.
Because they were planned for other things, but then just kind of got pushed, or the technology wasn't there, or whatever. So, like, being able to drop an item, and then it's just there, having to drop an item, and then the item is actually where you dropped it.
Exactly. Zero is a weird game.
Zero is a weird game. So, I mean, is there just not a big gap for Zero in your book?
It's just that...
Giant fleas, Alex. How can you... That's fucking exciting.
Zero would never have existed if the N64 wasn't a thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that game...
I remember playing it on N64.
It came out on GameCube.
E3.
Yeah, but its very existence is tied to the N64, and that's something they didn't really change when they moved it over.
It was so weird, too, how quickly it came out.
Right.
After...
Well, it was a different team making it.
Right, so, but I mean,
that game had a
Capcom.
Massive budget for the time.
Really?
Yeah. I think...
Just so bad.
I think RE0 had a bigger budget than RE4 did at the end.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the CG... I mean, Zero is a good-looking game. Like, the backgrounds are way more detailed than Remake. There's a lot more content. I think they hired Ayumi Hamasaki back in the day to be Rebecca's face model, so they really...
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Are you serious?
You don't notice the resemblance?
I don't remember Resident Evil Zero, because I kind of wiped it from my memory, because it was bad.
It was so bad. I remember talking about it. Like, they ran out of animals to like make giant, grotesque version of, so there's like fleas. There's actually like...
Yeah, that game, I mean, if it had
G-virus
come out,
fleas running around. It's like fucking fleas, people.
If it came out like maybe 2 years before it did on N64, it probably would have been fine. But,
it was still a retread. There were not a lot of like original ideas. Like some of the train graphics and stuff, there was some cool stuff there. But like, man, it was so like bereft of...
It's what happens when you move...
Good ideas.
When you move systems without like updating the design of the game.
Well, that and it was just uninspired like side story. I mean, 3, you could argue, also not the
remake also had a different director initially. So
really,
yeah,
I didn't know that. And no Mikami, it wasn't
one,
going
no
good.
One knew that until my book.
That's right.
Yeah, you gotta
when
find
is your book out?
Out? It's gonna take about 8 to 10 months to complete.
From now, so next summer-ish?
Something like that,
So you finished writing it, but now you're...
It's got to be edited, and then the like all the image-related stuff has to be all designed, copywritten.
You doing an audiobook?
Actually, yeah, that's something. I know who I want to record the audiobook. I think that's going to be a stretch goal if we meet the campaign at some point soon. The sooner the better.
I'm trying to think who that is. Like the original Jill voice actress?
Nah.
One of those people.
Oh my God! Get Barry Burton.
Oh yeah,
to read your book as Barry Burton.
Like truck driver guy who got bit at the start of
that's
too.
Kendo. Yeah.
Once upon a time. Wait, he didn't get bit. That's not Kendo. Oh, is it the same voice actor? Did both?
Different people.
You're right. That is Kendo. I'm thinking of.
I do have an interview with Barry's voice actor in the.
There you go, folks. Holy shit!
This book, it has like 70,000 words in it. I think that's like Harry Potter sized.
Which Harry Potter?
This book is as good, better than Harry Potter. That's the box.
New York Times best-selling author. I didn't get a nickname earlier, but that was...
All right, we'll take that.
Clearly, while we're plugging books, too, we should send out a plug for our friend of the... Brother of the family of the show, Crispin Boyer's
book.
That's
right.
Is out.
Yes.
Zeus the Mighty, right? The hamster...
Yes, Greek fiction, retelling via Greek. Hamsters stuff.
Crispin's an amazing writer. He's done a bunch of work for us. He worked with 8-4 on the makeup games, which were amazing.
Yep.
Dragon Quest VI.
A lot of the Monster Hunters he worked on.
Monster Hunters. Yep. He worked on...
Megalotsume.
What was that?
Nekoatsume.
That's right.
And Gloria
Super
Heracles.
Super talented. You might know him from EGM. He did a ton of stuff there. really super, super talented, great guy. And yeah, I forget the age range for it. It might be like 8 and 10 or something.
It's kids, yeah. I think it's...
But actually, yeah, I think it's for that...
It's a National Geographic thing, right? He's been writing for National Geographic for a while. National Geographic kids. After he transferred over from, I don't know, what was it, Hustler or something like that.
There you go.
He was like their tech guy, and now he's a National Geographic guy, and he's writing amazing books.
So if you are a friend or a friend of a friend or families, and, you know, Christmas is coming up,
I bought it.
Gotta buy book. Gotta buy book season.
I don't have any kids, but yeah, I'll read it. I don't know.
Read it. Gotta get on that.
Yeah. I want to up my reading. I want to up my reading level. So.
And I guess that's about it for this time. Dermot, you want to tell folks, give them the spiel?
Yeah. Until next time, you can find us at our...
Hot in here all of a sudden. Is it just me?
Yes.
Woo!
Find us at our website, 8-4.jp. Our second home, giantbomb.com. We always have a thread on Resetera. You can leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes.
5 stars.
Yep. Like us on Facebook. I think that's... Oh, and we're on Twitter, obviously. Yeah, we're at 84play. I am at Dermalo.
At Mark MacD.
At Kotawari.
At Diamond Howard.
At John TV.
At CBX Freak.
And I think that'll about do it. So thank you, as always, for listening. Please tell a friend. Please support Alex's book, Crispin's book, if you can and you're so inclined. And
have a safe Halloween. Don't do anything that's stupid.
That's it. Yes, please mind your manners, as the Capcom Dev 1 video reminds us. I'm so scared to see the next one of that. I'm very scared for our friends.
I heard you guys talking about it, but I haven't seen it.
You should watch. Just to watch the last 5 seconds gives a preview of the next one.
Okay.
That's the one to be worried about. Right. So we'll look forward to that. But that's it for now. Until 2 weeks from now, who wants to take us out?
Have fun!
The self-destruct sequence has been activated. Repeat, the self-destruct sequence has been activated. This sequence may not be aborted. All employees proceed to the emergency car at the bottom platform.
Yo, 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 I just woke up, people always tell me to wake up, but I'm always gotta tell them you gotta get the steak up. I don't get up for less than a quarter pound, unless I gotta poo-pee, or pee-pee. I'm an OG, you see, I do's me, I don't lose, all I do is drink booze.